A logo appears in bold, slanting letters over a blue planet in space. Turner. Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Samantha Manahan. Descriptions read by Wendy Sacchettini. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. Titles appear in CinemaScope and Metrocolor. Copyright 1956. Starring Marlon Brando as Sacchini, Glenn Ford as Captain Fisby, and Machiko Kiyo as Lotus Blossom in The Tea House of the August Moon. Co-starring Eddie Albert with Paul Ford, Jun Nagami, Nijiko Kiyokawa, Mitsuko Sawamura, and Henry Harry Morgan. Screenplay by John Patrick, based on a book by Vern J. Snyder, and the play by John Patrick. Presented on the stage by Maurice Evans, musical supervision by Saul Chaplin. Okinawan songs composed or arranged by Kikuko Kanai. Choreography by Masaya Fujima. Director of photography, John Alton. Art directors, William A. Horning and Eddie Mazu. Set decorations, Edwin B. Willis and Hugh Hunt. Assistant directors, William Shanks and Al Jennings. Film editor, Harold F. Kress, ACE. Recording supervisor, Dr. Wesley C. Miller. Special effects, Warren Newcomb. Makeup created by William Tuttle. We wish to gratefully acknowledge the courtesy and cooperation of the Daiichi Motion Picture Company of Japan. Mr. Masaichi Nagata, President. Produced by Jack Cummings, directed by Daniel Mann. Two paper screen doors slide open to reveal a village at the base of a mountain. A title appears, Okinawa, 1946. Two young girls hang olive-colored boxer shorts on a clothesline with a sign, Colonel Purdy III. Nearby, a broad-featured man with short jet-black hair sits cross-legged against a tree reading a book. A dozen children surround him, tug sticks of gum from his hands, then dash off. Wearing cut-off shorts and a short, threadbare kimono, the man smiles at us and holds up a stick of gum.
Tutti frutti. Most generous gift for American sergeant. Lovely ladies, kind gentlemen, please to introduce myself.
He bows.
Sacchini by name, interpreter by profession. Education by the ancient dictionary. Okinawan by a whim of gods. History of Okinawa reveal distinguished record of conquerors. We have honor to be subjugated in 14th century by Chinese pirate. In 16th century by English missionary. In 18th century by Japanese warlords. And in 20th century by American marine. Okinawa very fortunate. Culture brought to us, not have to leave home for it. And we learn many things. Most important, that rest of world not like Okinawa. World filled with delightful variation. Example, in Okinawa, no locks on doors. Bad manners not to trust neighbors. In America, rock and key, big industry. Conclusion, bad manners, good business. Another example. In Okinawa, wash self in public baths with nude lady, quite proper. But a picture of nude lady in a private home, quite improper. In America, statue of nude lady in park win prize. But nude lady in flesh in park win penalty. Conclusion. Pornography. Question of geography. But Okinawa most eager to be educated by conquerors. Not easy to learn. Sometimes very painful. But pain make man think. Thought make man wise. And wisdom make life endurable. So, now we're going to tell you a little story to demonstrate splendid example of benevolent assimilation of democracy by Okinawa. Both by name of Colonel Purdy III. Number three after name indicate he is son of a son of a son. Colonel Purdy put up many signs. This exceedingly civilized. Make it very easy for uncivilized to know what not to do. Here, rendry of officer, not to fraternize with rendry enlisted men.
Now, Sakini leads us to an office window. Inside, an officer sits with his feet up on a desk.
So, this gentleman, Honorable Sergeant Gregovich, assistant to Colonel Purdy, but not the son of a son of son.
The sergeant searches a trash can.
You know what he's doing? Explanation. Colonel Purdy, great student of history. So, every month, the wife of Colonel Purdy sent him a magazine called Adventure Magazine. Cover have a picture of a pirate with a black patch over eye. And everyone tried to steal the magazine. So Colonel hide on the desk so he can read fast. But the sergeant always find. So.
Gregovich drops to his hands and knees, crawls underneath the desk, and finds a magazine under the rug. Smiling, he sits down and reads.
He's a smart mouth.
Sakini nervously furrows his brow as he spots a thick-set, beak-nosed officer in a khaki uniform near the clothesline.
This gentleman exalted both Colonel Purdy III. Colonel, very wise man. Every morning, look up at the sky and make a prophecy.
It's not gonna rain today.
And you know what? Not rain. Of course, not rain this time of year in the whole history of Okinawa. But the colonel not make mistake.
Earn, dir.
Purdy counts as short.
Explanation. Army teach colonel French for invasion of Europe. Then sent to Okinawa instead.
One, two,
Purdy
three,
points to
four,
each pair.
Five, six, seven. Where's my eighth pair of shorts?
Now, colonel gonna yell loud for Sakini. So, I hide. I pretend to be asleep here. So,
Sakini!
Sakini slumps to the ground and closes his eyes.
Sakini!
The colonel hurries over.
Sakini!
Sakini bolts upright, pretends not to see Purdy, then lies back down.
Sakini!
Purdy taps him, and Sakini jumps to his feet.
Oh, good morning, boss. You sure surprised me, boss.
I want you to tell me why my laundry comes back every week with one piece missing.
Oh, guess lost, boss.
I know it gets lost. What I want to find out is how it gets lost.
Oh, the very simple, boss. Family take laundry to wash in the stream. And while friends exchange greetings, laundry exchange places. We run downhill fast as Dickens to catch laundry, boss.
Well?
Not run fast enough.
No wonder you people were subjugated by the Japanese. If you're not sleeping, you're running away from work. Where's your get up and go?
Oh, guess the get up and go went, boss.
Well, get up and go down to the officer's quarters and see if Captain Fisby's arrived. If he has, tell him to report to me at once.
Oh,
hurry.
Yes.
Sakini.
Yes, boss.
You are a civilian employee in the pay of the United States Army. Man should dress accordingly.
Yeah.
Pull your socks up.
Very sorry, boss. Very sorry. Socks up. Anything more, boss?
That'll be all.
Sakini walks slowly away without bending his knees.
Is that as fast as you can walk?
No, boss. But to walk any faster, socks fall down.
Earn dirt, truck.
In the office, Gregovich hides the magazine as Purdy enters.
Good morning, sir.
At ease. I'm going to get rid of that interpreter. He doesn't set a good example.
Colonel, sir, we got to have someone around who speaks the language.
You're quite right, Sergeant, quite right. It isn't often I make a mistake, but when I do...
It's a beaut.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, by George, I admit it.
I'm sorry, sir.
We've got a new officer reporting this morning. He's been transferred to us from psychological warfare. I don't suppose you happen to know who they are.
Aren't they something at the rear of the rear echelon?
They're just the cream of the Army's geniuses. They're just the brains behind the fighting heart. Every man, jack of them, has a mind like a steel trap. And we're lucky to be getting one of their officers.
I'll watch my step, sir.
While we're waiting for Captain Fisby, I'd like you to make a note of some new signs I want painted.
The painter hasn't finished the ones you ordered yesterday, sir.
There's only one answer to that. Put on another sign, painter.
Yes, sir.
Now, I noticed the men were dancing with each other in the canteen the other night.
Yes, sir. No dancing allowed.
I didn't say that, Gregovich. I don't object to the men dancing. I want them to enjoy themselves. But it doesn't set a good example for the natives to see non-coms dancing with enlisted men. So have a sign posted saying, Sergeants are forbidden to dance with privates. You might as well take that memo to the sign painter right now.
Yes, sir.
Purdy waits for Gregovich to leave, then drops to his knees and crawls under the desk. Long gray strips of hair combed sideways partially cover his balding head. As he eagerly searches under the rug, Sakini tiptoes in and taps his back. Startled, Purdy kneels up.
Sakini here, boss.
Don't ever put your finger on an officer.
Oh, not the right, boss.
No! If you want to announce your presence, knock.
So.
Can't you natives ever learn anything about custom?
As Purdy bends over, Sakini knocks on his back.
What do you think you're doing?
Oh, not to know, boss. Do what you ask.
Everything in this country conspires to annoy me. Well, where is Captain Fisby?
Oh, he come now, boss. I'll run ahead. A sucks of water.
A clean-cut officer enters.
Captain Fisby reporting, sir.
Welcome to Team 147. I can't tell you how glad I am to have you, Captain.
Thank you, sir.
Frankly, we're so desperate for officer personnel, I'd be glad to see you, even if you had two heads. That'll be all, Sakini. You can wait outside.
Okay.
Sit down, Captain, sit down.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry, boss. I sit by door, boss.
Oh, may as well be comfortable here.
Yes, oh, sir, not sleep.
Have you unpacked?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I unpacked as soon as I got in last night.
Well, that's too bad, because you'll have to pack again.
Oh?
I'm sending you to Tobiki at once. We need a man of your caliber up there right away.
Well, thank you, sir.
I'm informed, Captain, that you requested this transfer from psychological warfare to my outfit. May I say that I am honored.
Well, in all fairness, sir, I think I should tell you that I was requested to request it.
Oh? May I ask why?
Uh-huh. Well, you see, sir, it seems that my propaganda to undermine the enemy's morale undermined the staff's morale instead.
Well, how did you get into psychological warfare in the first place?
I was requested to request a transfer.
From what?
The Paymaster General's office.
What was your duty there?
Well, I had charge of the payroll computation machine. Well, until...
Until what?
Well... You know, machines have always been my mortal enemy, Colonel. I don't believe that they're inanimate. They're not inanimate at all. They're full of malice and ill will.
I ask you what happened, Captain.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, sir. Well, this machine, this you know, the payroll computation machine, it made a mistake, it seems, of $250,000 in the payroll. And, unfortunately, the men were paid before the mistake was discovered.
What did they do to you?
Oh, they gave me a job licking envelopes.
And then you asked for a transfer.
No. I developed an allergy to glue.
How many outfits in this man's army have you been in, Captain?
See, how many are there now, sir?
Never mind. I admit disappointment, but not defeat. I thought you were given to me in recognition of my work here. Frankly, I expect to be made a general soon. And I want that star for my wife's crown. Naturally, that's very hush-hush.
Oh, yes, naturally. You know something, sir? You know something? I just think that perhaps I just wasn't cut out to be a soldier, that's all.
Captain, none of us was cut out to be a soldier. But we do the job. We adjust. We adapt. We roll with a punch and bring victory home in our teeth. Do you know what I was before the war?
A football coach?
I was the Purdy Paper Box Company of Pottawatomie. What did I know about foreigners? But my job is to teach these natives the meaning of democracy, and they're going to learn democracy if I have to shoot every one of them.
Yes, sir.
What did you do before the war?
Oh, I was an associate professor at Muncie.
What'd you teach?
The humanities.
Captain, you're finally getting a job you're qualified by training to handle. Teaching these natives how to act human.
No, I don't think the humanities are quite that, sir.
If you can teach one thing, you can teach another. This is Plan B. Washington has drawn up full instructions pertaining to the welfare and recovery of these native villages. Mm-hmm. Consider it your Bible, Captain.
Yes, sir. I'll study it very carefully. Now, there might be some questions, though, I'd like to ask.
Washington has anticipated all of your questions.
Yes, I know, but you see, I was thinking...
You don't even have to think, Captain. This document relieves you of that responsibility. How is your Japanese?
Oh, not so very good. No, not good, sir.
Oh, I can see you'll need an interpreter.
Well, I... No, no.
I've got just the man for you.
Colonel?
Colonel?
Sakini!
Well, I could study the language, you know.
No need. We won the war.
Sakini present, boss. Socks up, not sleeping.
Sakini, this is Captain Fisby.
We meet before, boss, or you forget.
Yeah, we met.
I'm assigning you to Captain Fisby. He's going to take charge of a village at the top of Okinawa. A village called Tobiki.
Oh, Tobiki, boss. Very nice place, boss, but not at top of Okinawa, at the bottom.
Don't tell me where the villages under my command are located. I happen to give a course in map reading.
Very sorry, boss, but happened to be born in Tobiki at the bottom.
Then it's time you learned where you were born.
I'm very sorry, boss, but the map upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Why doesn't the Army learn how to draw a map properly? That'll be all, Sakini. Find Sergeant Gregovich and have him assign a jeep to Captain Fisby. Then load supplies, the captain's gear, and the jeep. Oh. You'll be leaving at once.
I mention you in prayer to God, boss. I wait for you when jeep comes down.
Sakini exits with a full circle soldier's pivot.
I sometimes think we occupation teams have it tougher than combat troops.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that.
Granted, they have it rough for a while, but we have the killing daily grind with no glory in it.
Yes, sir, I know what you mean, sir. Life itself is a battlefield with its own obscure heroes.
I consider that poetry, Captain.
Oh, no, that's prose, Colonel. It isn't mine, you know, it's Victor Hugo.
Oh, yes, Victor Hugo. How I love Tale of Two Cities.
Isn't that Dickens? Isn't it Dickens, sir?
Well, to get back to Tobiki, your first job when you get there will be to establish a municipal government and to build a school.
Yes, sir.
Plan B calls for the schoolhouse to be pentagon-shaped.
Pentagon?
When the schoolhouse is built, you will organize a ladies' league for democratic action.
Uh-huh.
Captain, this is a chance for you to make a name for yourself.
Yes, sir. I feel that I personally have delayed victory at least a year, and I want to vindicate myself.
That's the kind of talk I like to hear from my officers.
Thank you.
Well, I won't detain you then.
Yes, sir.
My only order to you is put that village on the map.
Yes, sir.
Send me a bi-monthly progress report in triplicate.
Yes, sir.
Don't duplicate your work.
No, sir. No, sir.
And remember that yes, the sir. Eyes of Washington are on our occupation teams, and the eyes of the world are on Washington.
Yes, sir. I'll keep the eyes in mind, sir.
Goodbye, Captain.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, sir.
Fisby steps outside into the bright sun.
Oh, everything all set, boss? We go to Biki now?
Now, listen, I got to get my gear packed first, Sakini.
Oh, all finished, boss. I have many cousins working for Army.
Where's our jeep?
Right over there, boss.
Huh?
In a cram-packed jeep, an old woman sits atop a tower of luggage 10 feet off the ground. Fisby looks up, puzzled.
What's she doing up there?
Oh, she nice already, boss. She hear we go to Tobiki village, so she thinks she go wrong and visit grandson.
Oh, she does. Uh-huh. Well, you tell her I'm very sorry, but you see, this is against regulations.
Oh, she not a far off, boss. She tied on good.
Yes? Well, you untie her, Sakini. You just get right up there and untie her and tell her to get down. You see, she's going to have to find some other way to visit her grandson.
Oh, boss, her grandson the mayor of Tobiki village. You want to make him rule the face, you kick old grandma off a jeep.
Oh, you say she's the mayor's grandmother?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. You see, she's tied on all right, I guess, huh? So sure. I guess we can take her. Now, look, is all this stuff here mine?
No, most of the stuff belongs to already. She's going to stay 3 or 4 months, so she bring her cooking pots and bed and a present for a friend.
Uh-huh. Well, all right. Look, if you see any low branches coming, you just, you yell out. And, get in there, Sakini. You get in there and you can give me directions while I drive. You want to get in?
Oh, no, can't go yet. Old lady daughter not here, boss.
Wait a minute. Maybe I didn't hear you right. You say, you don't mean the daughter's coming with us.
But old lady very old, boss. Who gonna take care of her on a trip? Oh, well, here she come now, daughter.
The daughter hurries toward them, pulling a wagon.
Will you just wait a minute? Now, wait a minute, will you mind?
She tosses bundles into the jeep.
Tell her, Miss Sakini, will you tell her that there's no room for anything more on this jeep?
Already must see? Take a clothes to show friends, boss, because you make a lose evasive, but people think you only got one dress.
Miss, will you please come back? Sakini, ask her to come back. There's no room for any more bundles on this jeep.
No, she not go get the bundles, boss. She go get children.
Sakini. Sakini. Oh. Look, these things are always happening to me. And I've got to put a stop to them someplace.
Daughter not go without children, and already not go without daughter. And if already not go, mayor up to Biggie be mad with you, boss.
The daughter quickly returns with four children.
Don't get up on there. Not on the hood of the... Just a minute.
Three boys sit in a row on the hood.
Son, Sakini, for Pete's sakes, how does she expect me to see how to drive?
Our old lady got very good eyesight, boss. Is she going to sit up there and tell us when to turn?
One boy hops down and runs off.
Son, will you please drive if you're going? What?
Fisbee fretfully rubs his brow.
He going to get goat, boss.
Goat?
You can't leave goat behind, boss.
Just a minute. Hold it, everybody. Now, we're going to see who is going to lose face. Right now, and we're going to see, because no goat is going to ride on this jeep.
You not like a goat, boss?
No, yes, I like. I mean, I don't know. It's not a question whether I like the goat. I'm just sure that the colonel, he wouldn't like it.
Oh, well, the children not go without goat, boss. Mother not go without children, boss. Yeah. Old lady not go without daughter. And if old lady not go, mayor of Tobiki
will be mad at you. I know. Oh, no.
The goat leaps onto the hood.
Everyone here, boss, son. Unmarried lady goat. No children.
No, you'll have to get down.
You'll never get it off the ground, Captain.
Four soldiers look on.
Sakini, come on, we gotta get started. Yeah.
You get in, boss, and no one else going, right. Boss. No one else.
Sakini secretly waves a white bearded man toward the jeep.
Wait a minute,
Captain.
Hold it,
Captain. You got another customer.
Hey, wait a minute.
The old man sits on a hammock by the rear bumper.
Oh, Sakini! Wait! Please wait. Now, who in the blazes is he?
Oh, who in the blazes he, boss? Never see before.
Well, ask him what he's doing sitting here, please.
What is that? Nice sender.
What
I see myself. Oh, he see people going on a trip, boss. He think he like to go along too.
No, please. He does. Well, you tell him for me that he's got to get off right now. Come on.
No.
What? Oh, he say, why you not take him, boss? You take a goat.
Oh, no.
He say, maybe you think he not as good as a goat.
Tell him for me, Sakini, that the eyes of Washington are on... The world is on Washington, and the eyes of Washington are on me. Will you just have... Folks, please, I would love to take you. Folks, if this was my jeep, or if this wasn't against regulations, I'd be only too...
Captain Frisbee!
Yes, sir.
What in the name of occupation do you think you're doing?
Well, it's hard to explain, sir.
He meekly salutes the colonel.
What do they say?
They say tell fat old man to shut up so we can get started.
The goat-calling soldier stands at stiff attention as the colonel marches over.
Which one of you men made that noise?
Fisbee and his passengers drive off. The colonel steps into the road, waving after them.
Captain Fisbee, where are you going? Hey, Captain Fisbee, Sakini, come back here. You hear me?
Later, Fisbee peers past the children and the goat on the hood as he steers the overloaded jeep along a dusty country road. The old woman perches on the luggage tower, lashed down by a rope across her lap, while the bearded man hangs off the back in the hammock. Her daughter taps Fisbee's shoulder questioningly as he stops at a crossroad. The captain raises his hands for quiet and glances at Sakini, who holds a young girl in his lap.
Just a minute, please. Which road?
Just a minute, what did she say? Already say, boss, she will want to go to Awasi first because she got sister she not see in 22 half years.
We're on duty, Sakini. We're not on a tour of the island. Now, would you please just ask her for me, which is the road to Tobiki?
Oh, Dostane.
Sakini slyly points left, then the girls join him.
All right, that's the whole idea.
They all hang on as Fisbee turns left. Later, they travel through lush farmland. The children point excitedly to the side of the road, and Fisbee pulls over near a cottage. Sakini and Fisbee stand up in the jeep as everybody else hops out.
Well, so this is Tobiki.
Tobiki, no, this is Awasi, boss.
I distinctly asked this lady to tell me the way to Tobiki.
Well, old lady, make mistake, boss. Very sorry.
We can't go on.
Sorry, boss, but she's not very smart.
Yeah.
The captain nods. Later, on the road again, Fisbee stops at another crossroad and aims a keen stare at Zucchini.
Which road? Oh. No, don't ask her. I don't trust her. All right, what are they saying?
Children want to go to Yaktodavos.
Why, I suppose I've got some cousins that they want to visit there,
No, ocean at the Yaktodavos. Children never see ocean.
Our orders are to proceed directly to Tobiki. Now, which road?
Oh. Zucchini points right. The children point right, too.
Over here, huh? All right.
Fisbee nods, then makes a left. The children point back the other way as the captain heads into the countryside. Later, under a blue sky, they arrive at the beach. The goat stands on the hood while the children hop onto the sand, then wade into the water.
Boss?
No, don't tell me. This is Yotoda.
How you know, boss?
Well, I recognize the ocean.
Ah, so.
Zucchini beams a wide smile. Later, the travelers pass through a stretch of green fields and drive into a quiet village of single-story wood cottages with thatched roofs. Short palm trees dot the dry landscape. Fisbee parks the cram-packed jeep and glances around the village with a skeptical frown.
Where is this? Whose uncle or cousin lives here?
Oh, the Tobiki boss.
Villagers rush to greet Zucchini. Fisbee climbs out of the jeep and helps the old woman down. Later, Zucchini carries a mattress into the captain's unfurnished one-room cottage, where Fisbee organizes his Plan B manual.
Now, according to Plan B, my first job here is to hold a public meeting, Zucchini. You see, I want to make very certain that the people out there understand that I come as their friend. Yeah, that we intend to lift the yoke of oppression from their shoulders.
Oh, they like that, boss. That's a favorite speech.
What? What do you mean, their favorite speech?
Oh, when the Japanese come, they say same thing. Then take everything.
No, you don't understand, Zucchini. We don't come here to take anything from them. We've come here to give them something.
Oh, that's all right, boss. We not mine. After 8 centuries, we get used to it. Now, when the friends come, we hide everything quick as Dickens. So, I'm going to tell people you make your speech, boss.
Zucchini opens the door.
Socks up, boss.
Fisbee watches him leave with a confused look, then reads Plan B. Outside, Zucchini stands in a bell tower. Below him, villagers gather on the dusty road. Fisbee steps out of his quarters wearing his khaki uniform and tent-shaped garrison cap. Villagers emerge from their thatch-roofed homes and the surrounding terraced landscape. Young and old hustle to the center square. Zucchini leads Fisbee through the crowd onto a stone platform, and the villagers form a tight circle around them.
Oh, everyone here eager to meet you, boss.
I might as well get started, Zucchini. Okay, citizens of Tobiki. Oh, yes.
See you.
Thank you very much. Citizens of Tobiki.
Americano Taisho San Captain Fisbee.
Zucchini leads the villagers in a bow.
Citizens of Tobiki Village.
Sorry, boss. Can't begin the lecture yet.
Why not? What seems to be the trouble?
Not good manners, boss.
Why?
Because people bring you gifts. You must accept gifts first.
Oh, no. Yeah, Zucchini, wait a minute. You got it all wrong. I'm here to bring gifts from my government to them.
No, very rude to make people feel poor, boss.
Oh, well, I don't want to do that. You get up here then, Zucchini, and tell them that I'll accept their gifts, but in the name of the United States Occupation Forces.
Sorry, John, what am I so?
All right.
A man hands Fisbee a small stick cage.
Oh, here, Mr. Hokkaido, boss. He give you a very nice gift.
Oh, thank you very, very much. What is it?
That's a very splendid cricket cage, boss.
What do you use a cricket cage for?
Oh, you keep your crickets in there,
boss. No, there isn't. There's no cricket inside.
No, you gotta get your own cricket, boss. No one gonna get for you.
Oh, I see. I got it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank him for me. Tell him I'll keep my eye open for a cricket.
Yeah. Arigato.
Yeah. What do you keep a cricket in a cage for?
Oh, so fortune smile on you, boss. A cricket, very good luck.
Oh, that's nice.
The boss here, Mr. Omura. He give you a chopstick.
Quite the mine is good, so dozo.
And he say hope that only food of gods touch your lips.
No, that's a nice. Oh, that's very nice. You know, that's one of the nicest things I've ever
Boss here, Mr. Seko.
Yes?
Smiling, young Mr. Seiko gives Fisbee a pair of sandals, then bows. Sakini coaches Fisbee through a return bow.
That's wooden sandal, boss. Very comfortable for tired feet. He say, may you walk in prosperity.
You tell him that I will walk in the cool meadow of pleasant memories. Huh? What's the matter? Is that all right?
Oh, boss, that's very pretty, boss. Yeah, arigato.
Thank you. That's all right. Thank you very much.
And boss, Miss Higa Jiga, she unmarried lady, boss. She give you 3 eggs.
Oh, isn't that nice? Yes. No, tell her that I'll have these eggs for breakfast in the morning. You tell her.
Anane?
Kame no tamango.
Chicken and the egg.
Kame no tamango.
She says
she
hope
you're gonna enjoy your turtle egg, boss.
Turtle eggs?
Yes.
Sakini cues the crowd.
Hey! Oh, you're very big success, boss. They sure like you already.
Oh, yes.
Oh, boss.
Turtle eggs?
This, Mr. Oshira,
here,
boss.
Here, hold these for me, will you, Sakini? I'm so getting a little bit too much here.
He give you a very nice record cup, boss. Oh. He make that cup himself.
No, he didn't. Well, you thank him for me and tell him that I'll be forever indebted to him for his very lovely gift.
You are most welcome, Captain.
Hey, you speak English.
Sure, boy. Mr. Oshira teach me English when I'm a little boy in Tokiki.
In my youth, I work in Manila. How is Mr. McKinley?
Oh, you mean President McKinley? Well, I'm afraid somebody shot him.
I am sorry.
Well, that was a long time ago, you know.
Yes, a long time. May August moon fill your cup.
Why an August moon, sir?
All moons good, but August moon, little older, little wiser.
Did Sakini say that you made this cup all by yourself?
Oh, yes.
You know that this is a lost art, Sakini. This is an industry we could start right here, right now, in Tobiki. Now, do you think you could mass produce these?
Mass produce?
Yes, you know, set up machines, turn them out by the gross.
I take pride in making one cup at a time, Captain.
How many of these do you think you could turn out in, oh, say, one day?
If I work hard, maybe one or two a week.
Fine, that's good. You make as many of these as you can. We'll send them up to the American Post Exchange, and we'll sell them just as fast as you can turn them out.
I shall do my best.
Fine, we're in business, Sakini. Now, Mr. Hokkaido, you make a whole lot of those cricket cages. And the gaiters, they're fine. We can sell a lot of those gaiters. And the chopsticks, great. A lot of those chopsticks. And I saw some straw hats. See those straw hats, Sakini? Make a lot of those straw hats. We're going into the souvenir business, folks.
Oh, we all going to make money, boss?
They make enough of these things, I'll guarantee the recovery of Tobiki Village. You tell them that.
Sakini cues them again.
Oh, boss, you very big success. They sure like you already, boss. And they say they're going to make everything fast as Dickens.
Sakini, though, would you mind asking them, though, to postpone any more gifts for right now? Because I want to tell them what we're going to do for them.
Oh, okay. Sa, kore kara hanashi ga aru. Okay, they say okay, boss. They got no more present for you in here.
Oh, all right, because it's very important, Sakini, that I tell them about the schoolhouse that we're going to build here for their children. Now, according to Plan B, I believe it says the direct approach is the most effective. So, you ready?
Oh, all set, boss.
Do you want to be ignorant?
Sakini lifts his arm behind Fisbee's back.
What? What was that?
Well, they say yes, boss.
Yeah, yes? You mean they want to be ignorant?
Oh, no, boss. Oh, in Japanese, boss, yes mean no. They say yes, we not want to be ignorant.
Oh, I see. No. Do you want your children to be ignorant? Now, what was that?
They say, no, boss.
No? Wait a minute now. Sakini, no they do or no they don't?
Yes, boss, they not want to know ignorant children.
Right. Now, there's gonna be a daily issue of rice for everybody here.
Again, Sakini slyly prompts the crowd.
Yes, yes, and we're going to build a fine new schoolhouse for your children. Pentagon shaped.
Kako tacharandayo. Tachiwa. Pentagon.
Pentagon.
She said, what is the Pentagon, boss? Never here before.
You mean to say that they've never heard of the Pentagon?
No, boss.
Well, they certainly do need a school here. The Pentagon. Everybody knows what the Pentagon is. Well, it really, really means five sided, you know, Sakini.
Five sided?
Yes, it has five.
あら、互角の子供なんて言えしないわよね。
say, boss, they say there are no children in Tobique. Got the five sides.
No, no, the school has five sides, not the children. I mean, not really. No, you see, it's like a building in Washington, folks, and everybody is going to learn about democracy.
Mother, Minji Jugi, better.
Minji Jugi, better.
They say, what is a democracy, boss? They know what rice is.
Yes, all right. Democracy is a system of self-determination. It's the right to make the wrong choice.
And... 間違ってもいいんだよ.
No, wait a minute. No, we're not getting through to them, Sakini. Look, let me explain it this way. Now, suppose I'm back home and I don't like the way that Uncle Sam is treating me. Well, do you know what I can do? I can write to the president himself and I can tell him so.
大統領に手紙書いてもいいのさ。そんなこといいのかしらね? They say, but do you send that letter, boss?
Well, let's get on with the lecture now. Now, folks, we're going to show you how democracy really operates, because we're going to hold an election right here and now in this village, and we're going to organize this village. Is the mayor here, Sakini?
Here's the mayor, boss, to ride a white coat.
Oh, no, we're going to have to get him a new white coat, Sakini. We wouldn't want to get a new mayor now.
Oh, you better keep a mayor, boss. Very hard to find a white coat.
All right, we got the mayor. Now we need a chief of police, and we need a chief of agriculture. Now, who'd make a good chief of agriculture here?
They point to the handsome sandal maker.
They say they like Mr. Seiko, boss. He's the best man for the job. Yeah,
he's an experienced farmer, huh?
He's the artist, boss.
What?
He artist. He draw a lovely picture of golden wheat, a butterfly.
Sakini, just a minute. You know, just because he draws a very nice picture of wheat, that doesn't make him an experienced wheat farmer.
Wheat does not grow here anyhow, boss. Just the sweet potatoes. So...
Oh, all right. Well, if he's their choice, fine. Now, we're going to have to have... What do you say?
Oh, he wants a white coat like mayor was.
Oh, well, you said that we can't get a white... Well, that's all right. If he doesn't get a white coat, we'll get him a... Folks, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get him a helmet, and we're going to have written on the helmet, see? Chief of Agriculture.
Oh, yoshi, kabuto angeru.
Right?
Domo
arigatou gozaimasu. Right, fine. Now we need a chief of police. Now, who'd make a good chief of police?
Kondo wa Kishi.
The villagers point to the brawny cage maker.
They say they like Mr. Okada, he champion wrestler. They're afraid of him.
Yeah. That's all right.
Strong boss.
Yes, indeed. All right, fine. Now we got it. What?
It's kabuto.
What did he say?
He wants a helmet, boss.
Oh, fine. Sure. We'll requisition a helmet for him, too. Right? Fine. Now for the ladies. Now, we're going to organize a... I know what it is. It's a ladies' league for democratic action. And we're going to have a league president. Now, who'd make a good league president for the ladies' league for democratic action?
Boy, the ladies like that, boss. They never vote before.
Fine.
The women point to the turtle leg gift giver, a petite woman with a wide, toothy smile.
She's going to make a classy president.
I'm sure. Yes, I know. No, never mind. I understand. Tell her I'll get her a helmet, too. All right, fine. Now, oh, I tell you, I've been talking a long time here, haven't I? You know, folks, I'll bet you there's some questions you'd like to ask me. Ask them, Sakini.
An elderly couple steps onto the platform.
Oh, she said what the time it is, boss.
Time? It's a quarter to five. Why?
Oh, they got to go then, boss. They not want to miss the sunset. Every afternoon, they like to go sit in the pine grove and sip tea, watch the sun go down.
Isn't that nice? All right, Sakini. You thank them all for me and tell them they can go to the pine grove and sip tea and watch the sun go down.
Yeah, mina kaite mo ii yo. Domo arigato.
Domo arigato. Sayonara.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The crowd disperses. Sakini carries the captain's gifts as they stroll together, their faces glistening in the bright sun.
How do you think we did?
Oh, take off for it, boss. Future look very rosy.
I wonder where I can find a cricket.
Oh, maybe have cricket in a house now and not know, boss.
I'll take these.
Okay.
Thanks, Sakini.
Sure. I'll be around here. You want me, boss.
Right.
Frisbee takes his gifts and heads inside. Sakini steps away. He turns to see a short, barefooted man tiptoeing toward him.
Wow. Where are you from?
Go, go, go.
Oh, totemo beppin hansu yatte tano. Oh, it's so beautiful.
The short man points to his right, then whispers in Sakini's ear. He waves toward Fisbee's house, and a svelte geisha emerges from around the corner, shading herself with a purple umbrella. As the man hurries off, she starts to chase after him. Sakini stops her and leads her to Fisbee's door. She wears a trim tan kimono with a wide sash.
Yes?
You busy, boss?
Now, what is it, Sakini?
Boss, Mr. Sanada leave a present for you.
Oh? Well, put it on the shelf there where it'll be out of the way.
Oh, not able to, boss. The present get mad.
Sakini slides open the door and invites the geisha in.
Konnichiwa.
Who's she?
It's over there.
What are you talking about?
This is a present from Mr. Sanada, boss. Introducing Lotus Blossom Geisha Girl First Class. America-san, Captain Fisbee.
Yoroshiku. Aro, choito. Kochira handsome, ne?
What?
Oh, suki yo.
She says she's very happy to belong to handsome captain. She says she's gonna serve you well.
Now, she's not going to serve me at all. Now, I want you to get your friend, and I want you to tell him that I'm returning his gift.
Impossible to do, boss.
Why?
Mr. Sanada, go to mountain visit cousin. He leave present for you and wish you very best success in Tobiki.
What did she say?
Oh, she says she want to know where you want her to stay, boss.
I don't care where she stays, but she can't stay here.
Where she go, boss? She got no home now.
She picks up a bathrobe from Fisbee's cot.
She want to
put your kimono on for you, boss.
Now.
She's trained to please you.
I know what she's trained to do, and I don't need any translation there. Now, you get my stuff out of the supply shack, and you we'll put her up over there.
Oh, the not very democratic, boss. You make her lose her face.
What?
She thinks she's about geisha girl.
Well, I've got a little bit of face to save anything. No, don't give me any of that oriental hanky-panky business now.
Holding the rope, she guides Sakini to the door.
All right, what's she saying?
Well, she say for me to go home to Grandpa, boss. She first class geisha girl. She know her business. Good night, boss.
He closes the door.
Sakini?
Lotus Blossom follows Fisbee with his robe.
This is all a big mistake.
You know,
Sakini? Me?
Me?
Me? No.
It's a kimono.
No, this is not a kimono. This is a bathrobe, and I don't want to put it on, you see?
He sits, and she unbuttons his shirt.
Sakini! This is against regulations. Hello?
Colonel Purdy winces at his phone.
You don't have to shout. I can hear you. This is Colonel Purdy.
Yes, sir.
Fisbee pushes her away.
I thought I'd check up on you. How are things going? Anything I can do for you?
I can't think of a thing, sir.
Fisbee resists as she takes off his shoes.
I realize it's bound to get lonely for you down there. So you know what I'm going to do, my boy?
What are you going to do?
I'll tell you. I'm going to send you some of my old adventure magazines.
No, I don't want them. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, very much. I would like something to read, sir.
She tugs him off the chair.
How are you getting along with the natives?
Well, it's an age-old problem, sir. It's a question or a struggle to see who's going to lose face.
I understand. As Mrs. Purdy says, east is east and west is west, and there can be no twain. But you are making progress.
Well, nothing that I'd like to put on paper, sir.
Well, send in a detailed progress report.
Well, if that's what you'd like me to do, sir, yes, sir.
She pulls his shirt up.
You'll find that these people lack the capacity for sustained endeavor. Don't hesitate to build a fire under them.
I don't think that will be necessary, sir.
Don't forget, the eyes of Washington are on you, Fisbee.
Oh, I hope not, sir.
He pulls his shirt down.
It just occurred to me. Have you given any thought to physical education?
She yanks him to the floor.
I don't think that happened. You know, sir, that was a masterpiece of timeliness, sir.
Thank you.
She sits
my
on
boy.
His back, then tugs his shirt over his head.
Could you use a deck of cards?
Sir?
Fisbee scrambles on the floor as she jerks his shirt over his head.
Hello? Fisbee! You're getting weak.
Fisbee crawls under the desk and she tickles his bare chest.
Well, be good, my boy. Keep up the good fight. Bye-bye.
Lotus Blossom grabs onto the waist of Fisbee's pants and wrenches him from under the table. Tangled up in his shirt, he sidles onto his back, then staggers to his feet. Tractionless in his socks, he slips. Lotus Blossom drags him toward the porch doors. He pushes her out, closes the door, and ducks in the corner. And she pokes her hand through a hole in the paper screen. Later, under a bright sun, Fizbee walks through town. A villager passes him carrying a basket of vegetables on his shoulder.
Zucchini!
Small gardens, landscape, a network of dusty roads. He glances searchingly around the quiet village as he wanders past a cluster of square stick houses.
Zucchini!
Miss Higajiga steps onto a porch and bows.
Good morning.
Ohayou gozaimasu. Good morning.
Miss, do you know where Zucchini lives?
Ohayou gozaimasu.
Good morning. Do you know where... Do you know where my chief of police... Do you know where my chief of police is? My chief of agriculture?
Fizbee dashes off.
Ohayou gozaimasu.
Zucchini!
Oh, boss. Say, where you been? Been looking all over for you.
What are you talking about? Where have you been? Where's my chief of agriculture? There's not a man working in this village this morning, Zucchini. Look around for yourself. Look, there's not a man to be seen.
Wait a second, boss. Rotos prasum. Leave all her things at the wasi, boss. She got no way to come here, but so... This morning, everyone take a wheelbarrow and go help bring lotus blossom.
Do you mean to tell me that she has so much stuff it takes my entire staff to move this woman, this girl, to my village?
No, boss, but chief of police not trusted. No. Chief of agriculture.
No.
And wait, Mr. Mayor not trust Mr. O'Shira, so all got to go, boss.
Oh, I see. Mr. O'Shira, that old man?
He old, boss, but not dead.
Well, that's a fine way for... That's a great way for officials to act. As soon as they get back here, I want to see them in my office, Zucchini.
Okay, boss.
Now, a parade of singing male villagers marches gaily down a gentle hill into the village. The white-coated mare leads the way, swaying his fan in rhythm. Beneath her purple umbrella, Lotus Blossom rides in a two-wheeled wagon, which is pulled by two men. Villagers line the road to greet Lotus Blossom and the convoy of supply-loaded wagons. The marching officers wear round army helmets. The brawny police chief lifts a tasseled stick in the air. Mr. Seiko pushes Lotus Blossom's wagon from behind, fanning her as he jogs. As the wagon train stops, a throng of female villagers rushes to the scene, led by the president of the Ladies League for Democratic Action, Miss Higajiga. The police chief and Mr. Seiko help Lotus Blossom down. She bows graciously to her entourage. Later, a sign on the provisions building reads, "Rice issued at 2 o'clock daily." Miss Higajiga stands at the front of a long line of women with baskets. An officer with a clipboard ignores her as he glimpses Lotus Blossom headed his way. They exchange a bow, and he follows her as she steps toward the rear. Another officer runs inside, then comes back out with his helmet and beckons Lotus Blossom toward the front of the line. Sliding the waiting women, the officers usher Lotus Blossom inside. As Miss Higajiga and the others follow, they slam the door shut. The throng of women storms off. Carrying their empty baskets, they accost Zucchini outside Captain Fizbee's quarters. Fizbee steps outside.
What's going on? Don't
know, boss.
What's the trouble?
Don't know, boss.
Who's in this house?
You know what they say. They say they got discrimination here, boss.
Discrimination where?
Somewhere.
Miss Higajiga waves the women into a line. Miss Higajiga uses a stick as an umbrella and struts with a hip-swaying walk. She spits, then grabs her helmet and pretends to be the officer. She bolts inside. As Fizbee follows, she slams the door in his face. Miss Higajiga bursts back outside.
I wish you wouldn't use
the...
The slighted crowd pins the captain against his door.
Look, wait a minute! Look, this is the thing that undermines the democratic ideal. You tell her I intend to do something about it. You tell her.
Fisby and Zucchini squeeze inside through the sliding doors, then hold them shut.
Wait, come on. Hold it.
Wait a minute. I'm going to see right now that we're going to have to get rid of this disrupting factor in our recovery program.
Fisby picks up and cranks the phone.
McAvoy, Awasi, please.
What you going to do, boy?
Now, this village isn't big enough for Plan B and the Geisha girl.
Oh, so we can never have a Geisha girl before. We like very much. Boy.
She's got to go. Major McAvoy, this is Captain Fisby at Tobiki.
Just a minute.
I have a request, sir, from one of my people to transfer to your village. Yes, sir. It's a female citizen, sir. Her job?
Please, make her go. Not democratic, boss.
Yes, as a matter of fact. Yes, her name is Lotus Blossom, Major. How did you know? No, sir. I am not trying to put anything over on you, sir. It's, Major. Mm-hmm. Oh, you did? Oh, you did?
Clenching his lips, Fisby hangs up.
Oh, he know Rotos Blossom was.
Yes. You know, sir, now, as a matter of fact, Lotus Blossom was at Awasi. She nearly wrecked his plan for recovery. Don't give me that also. Listen, do you know that she has been booted out of every village by every commander on the island?
Poor little Lotus Blossom.
By golly, now I know why Mr. Sonata, or whatever his name is, just off he goes, disappears. I know why. You know that the major gave him 100 yen to get that girl out of that village? Well, by golly, she's not going to cause any dissension here.
The crowd bursts inside.
Ladies!
Fisby climbs onto a chair with the women tugging at his sleeves.
Just a minute, please. Wait, just 1 minute. Please, what is it you want?
Miss Higajiga.
She says she's waiting for some democratic action, boss. And if she don't get a boss, she says she's going to write this Uncle Sam you talk about.
Wait a minute now. No. We don't want to do that. We don't want any letters going to Washington about any trouble around here. Now, the discrimination, which all these lovely ladies have been... I know you've been very worried about it, but we're going to take care of it. Every bit of it's all going to be taken care of.
Svete, yame masu yo.
Yame nakute mo ii no yo. Wakete kure sae sureba.
No. She said, please not eliminate discrimination, boss. Just give her some.
Now, what does she mean by that?
She say, Rotos Blossom unfair competition.
Well, granted.
And she say, you promised her everyone are going to be equal, boss.
And I intend to keep my word.
But she say she can't be equal, boss, unless she have everything Rotos Blossom have.
What Lotus Blossom has, the government doesn't issue.
Miss Higajiga hands Fisby a note. The women urgently point at it.
All right. Yes, just a minute now. What is this?
She say she wants you to get her and Lady Zuriga following items. A, red stuff to put on lips like geisha girl. B, stuff that smell very nice.
Now, wait a minute. What do you think the post exchange would think if I were to put in a requisition for lipstick? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Dame.
This I can't do.
Zucchini waves a denying hand to the women.
Now what?
Oh, she says she thinks she's gonna have to write this Uncle Sam after all of us.
No, you don't.
Wait a minute, ladies.
The women start to leave.
Ladies, please, come back. You, ladies, come back here. Look, just one. Look, sit down. You sit down. Come on.
He pulls out a chair for Miss Higajiga.
Sit down. No, please don't. Now, look, will you explain, Zucchini? Listen very carefully. Will you? Oh, my. Just explain to her that... I will phone the post exchange at Awasi, and I will see if I can't get some, I'll get some talcum powder, and I'll get some shaving lotion, you know, tell her.
Yeah, kate agemasu.
Huh? Yeah. All right.
Right?
Kate kureru no?
Yeah, it's all right. Yes?
Mo hitotsu onegai ga anno.
What now?
Atashi tachi minna ne.
What did she say?
Geisha narita no.
Oh, she said one more thing, boss. She said she want you to get Rotosprasum to teach all the ladies to be geisha girl.
No!
Frisbee slams his hand down and shakes his head. With enthusiastic smiles, the women hurry outside. Now, inside her chambers, Lotus Blossom checks the folded back of her sash in a small oval mirror. She studies her elegant makeup, then brushes her cheek with blush. Outside, Mr. Seiko runs up to her house and stops at the front gate. Meanwhile, Lotus Blossom sprays her lustrous black hair, which she wears in a neat bun on the top of her head. She checks herself in the mirror one last time before getting up, then heads outside, where Mr. Seiko paces with a yellow chrysanthemum. Spotting her, he rushes to open the gate. Lotus Blossom opens her umbrella and heads downstairs onto the road. Following, Mr. Seiko offers her the flower. She glances at it and walks on. Her suitor sniffs the petals, lays a hand over his heart, and puts the flower in her hand. She takes it and strides on. With a pleading gaze, he blocks her path. Lotus Blossom pushes him aside. Chagrined, Mr. Seiko watches her walk away. Now she smiles bashfully outside Fisbee's door.
Fisbee-san!
Oh, boss, look who's here. Rotus Blossom come to see you.
All right, now, where have you been all day? Hmm? No, don't bother to tell me. I know you've been out, upsetting the agricultural horse cart.
Huh?
Oh, she says, son, boss, true clouds now that you smile on her, boss.
I'm not smiling.
She gives him her flower.
Oh, boss, you know what she give you?
The works.
No. When ready give a gentleman's chrysanthemum bud in Okinawa, that means that her heart ready to unfold.
Well, this is one bud that's not going to bloom.
Lotus Blossom gets a tea tray.
Now, what's this?
She want to know you want some chikimono, boss.
No.
Chikimono, very good to eat between meals.
No.
She starts to put his sandals on him, and Fisbee frowns.
Will you tell her to leave my feet alone.
Captain Wesley, sir.
What?
He sighs as she brings him a cone-shaped straw hat.
Oh, boss, she's
very worried about you. Now, when you go out in hot sun, you must wear a kasa on
her
head.
Well, you know something? You tell her to stop worrying about my head and my feet, and one thing very important, she's just got to stop interfering with my recovery program.
You want some tea, boss?
No, I don't. No.
Fisbee
no.
lies down.
Oh, you want to hear some music, boss?
No, I don't.
Oh, she say you're jealous, boss.
You
want to tell her your trouble, boss?
Tell her my... What? Now, what do I want to tell her my troubles for? What?
Oh, she geisha go, boss. That's her business.
Yes, some business.
Fisbee sits up and grimaces as she rubs his hair.
Oh, she's very sad, boss.
Mm. Behind his back, she pretends to punch him.
She say, you best boss she ever have. You not take money from her. You not make her work.
Fisbee stands up with concern.
You mean to tell me that the men who owned her hired her out and then you... And they took money from her?
Oh, sure, boss.
Oh, well, now, really. I mean, you know where I come from. The men who do that sort of thing.
Oh, well, you got the geisha business in America, too, boss.
No, but, well, I mean, look, will you please explain to her? I have no intention of making her work, and I'm certainly not going to take any money away from her.
Oh,
I mean, that's...
Why not, boss? She paid dues to Geisha Guild. She member in good standing.
This is really, I mean, this is the most immoral thing I've ever heard of. No, I mean, I don't say, Sakini, that where I come from, we don't have, well, you know, but I mean, by golly, we don't have unions. We don't set rates, and we don't collect dues.
No,
and we...
no, boss. No geisha girl not do what
look,
you
no,
think.
No, 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 wait a minute. Everybody knows what they do.
Oh, no, the everybody wrong, boss.
What do they pay her for? Hmm?
Oh, well, very hard to explain, boss. Poor man like to feel rich. Rich man like to feel wise. Sad man like to feel happy, so all go to geisha house and tell trouble to geisha girl. Now, she listen very politely. She say, oh, that's too bad, boss. She very pretty. She make tea and she sing and she dance, boss. Pretty soon, troubles go away, boss. So, that not worth something, boss?
Lotus Blossom gazes curiously at Fisbee as he cracks a smile.
Zucchini, I apologize to you. I really apologize. I'm very glad you cleared things up. That's kind of puts a new light on things.
Beaming, Fisbee picks up the flower.
She said, why you smile at her all of a sudden, boss? You mad or something?
Zucchini, will you ask her if she'd be kind enough to give geisha lessons to the Ladies League for Democratic Action?
Her eyes light up, and she smiles shyly.
Huh?
Later, the Ladies League gathers around as Miss Higajiga awkwardly imitates Lotus Blossom's graceful movements in a dance. Knees slightly bent, Lotus Blossom ties a scarf around her neck, then dips a knee to the ground and claps over her head. Hunched over, Miss Higajiga nervously twists her scarf around her neck, drops to one knee, and claps offbeat. Now, Zucchini, the village officers, and a dozen other men rush to the captain's quarters. Fisbee steps outside.
Oh, look who's here! They all come to see you, boss.
Oh, what can I do for them?
Oh, they have a meeting in democratic fashion and majority agree on resolution. They want you to build them a chaya.
What?
A tea house, boss.
A tea house?
Sure. Now the Tobiki got the geisha girl like big city, boss. They want a tea house like big city, too. And they say you give Ladies League what they want, boss.
I can't build them a tea house, Zucchini. I have no authority to do that.
Oh, you say we're a majority of the law, boss. You gonna break the law?
No, I'm not gonna break.
The crowd parts eagerly to let Lotus Blossom through, and the men bow.
Well, look, they're going to have a school, you see. Now that's enough.
Oh, school. Well, the majority too old to go to school, boss. They want to have a tea house.
We haven't got the materials to build a tea house. What'd she say?
Oh, she said yesterday big army truck come and leave rubbery lumber and beautiful paint, boss.
That's right, it's for the schoolhouse. No, it just can't be done, folks.
Oh, okay.
No, I just can't.
Zucchini shakes his head to the crowd. Heads bowed, they turn away.
They say you very mean to them, boss. After present, they give you everything. But
I'm sorry, folks.
The crowd returns
really
expectantly.
Sorry.
Oh, they very sorry too, boss. Because Tobiki, you like to be proud, boss. Tea house give them a face.
It's going to be a fine school. Five sides.
May I speak, Captain Zan?
Yes, of course, Mr. O'Shea.
There are lovely tea houses in the big cities. But the men of Tobiki have never been inside them. We are too poor. All of my life, I have dreamed of visiting a tea house where paper lanterns cast a light in the lotus pond and the bamboo bells hanging in the pines tinkle as the breezes brush them. But this picture is only in my heart. I may never see it. I am an old man, sir. I shall die soon. It is evil for the soul to depart this world laden with envy or regret. Give us our tea house, sir. Free my soul for death.
With his brow furrowed in concern, Fisbee looks earnestly at Mr. O'Shea.
We haven't any carpenters.
Carrying wooden toolboxes, a stocky man and an older, bald man shuffle through the cheerful crowd. Thisbe puts his hands on his hips, shakes his head, then strokes his short, grizzled hair in disbelief.
Oh, boss, what do you think? Mr. Sonata and the Papa-san just to come down from the mountain right now.
Thisbe smiles at the crowd.
All right, I haven't got a chance. I guess Uncle Sam is going into the tea house business.
He glances benevolently at the crowd, then heads inside. They gather together outside his door.
Captain Thisbe! Uncle Sam!
The rejoicers lift Sakini into the air. Later, in a tree-lined clearing, the villagers start to build the tea house. Some dig up the grassy earth, while others carry wood. Now, in Thisbe's quarters, Lotus Blossom fans the bathrobe-clad captain. She hands him the phone receiver.
Captain Thisbe?
Hello, this is Colonel Party.
Oh, yes, sir. How are you, Colonel?
I want to talk to you about your progress report. There's nothing in here about the new schoolhouse. Didn't you get the lumber?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. As a matter of fact, we're using it out there now, sir. But, Colonel, I think we're going to have some more.
I said ample according to specifications. How big a structure you're building?
Well, sir, we have to consider expansion, you know. Population increase.
We don't need to consider expansion. Our troops will be out of there by the next generation. Which brings me to another point. What's this about six kids being born last week?
Well, sir, it's the only thing I could fill the progress report with, sir.
Then you failed at your indoctrination. Don't you know yet that births are entered under population increases? They're not considered progress.
No, not children, sir. Kids. Goats.
There must be something wrong with this connection. It sounded just as if you said goats.
You see, I'm trying to increase the livestock down here.
Goats! Look here, Thisbe, suppose some congressman flew in to inspect our team. How can I explain such a report about goats?
The population of civilians alone concerns us. I want to know exactly what progress you've made as outlined in Plan B.
Well, sir, I'm getting along with the people.
In other words, nothing.
Listen to me, Thisbe. Do you know what Major McAvoy has accomplished in Owosse?
No, sir.
Then I'll tell you. His fourth graders know the alphabet through M. His whole village can sing God Bless America in English.
And I wish I could say the same.
Well, see that you do. I don't want any rotten apples in my barrel. Now, I want to know exactly what you've accomplished in the 5 weeks you've been down there.
Well, sir, now, well, we have started an industry. As a matter of fact, we're sending our first shipment out this week. Now, we're making gaiters.
Wait a minute. What in thunder is a gaiter?
No, it isn't a gaiter, sir. It's plural. Gaiters. Gaiters, you know, you have to have two.
Are you breeding some other kind of animal?
No. You see, you wear them on your feet, and they're very good for the metatarsal muscles, Colonel. And now I have another group. They're out there making cricket cages.
Captain Thisbe, what kind of cages did you say?
Cricket cages, Colonel.
You know, the cricket, the black bug that...
It rubs its hind legs together.
Well, I think we can sell just thousands of those cages. Of course, we don't supply the cricket.
Actually not. Captain Thisbe, have you taken your salt pills?
Oh, yes, sir. Every day at Chaya in the Pine Grove.
Have you been going out in the sun without your hat?
You see, I wear a casa, sir. It's a... the wind blows through the straw.
Kind of ventilates the brains.
I see. That'll be all, Captain.
Purdy hangs up, his eyes wide with worry.
Gregovich.
Yes, sir.
What's the name of that psychiatrist over at Owosse?
Captain McLean.
Yes. You can get him on the phone. My man at Tabiki's gone completely off his rocker.
At Tabiki Village, a khaki-uniformed officer parks his jeep next to Thisbe's. Three young boys standing in the back seat bow.
Good morning, Mommy.
Good morning.
The husky officer steps out, removes his garrison cap from his blonde, buzz-cut hair, and strides over to Thisbe's house. He cracks the door and peeks inside.
Hello?
Good morning, Mommy.
Good morning.
He returns a bow to the three boys, then heads inside and closes the door behind him. Glancing around the sparsely furnished room, he trips on a step. Pale light filters through the rectangular latticework of the porch's paper-screened door. He takes a small notepad from his front pocket, glances warily over his shoulder at the door, then studies the desk. With a curious gaze, he removes a pair of chopsticks from their case, then jots in his notebook. Outside, Thisbe strolls through the village carrying a bouquet of yellow flowers. He wears his gray bathrobe, straw hat, and wooden sandals. A dozen children gather around him. Fisby spots the officer's jeep, then steps to his door.
Jimmy. I see you. Hi.
He steps inside, glimpses the officer carefully studying his cricket cage, and jogs over with a smile.
Well, who are you?
Oh, you startled me.
I'm Captain Fisby. Can I do something for you?
The officer stares at Fisby's outfit.
Oh, well, I'm Captain McLean.
How do you do? Captain?
There was nobody here, so I came in.
Medical corps. I see it. See? Huh? What are you doing down here in Tabiki?
I'm on leave.
Oh?
Just thought I'd spend it down here, you know. Making some ethnological studies.
Oh?
Of the natives. That is, if you have no objection.
No, I don't have any objections. That's in your way, isn't it? I'll take it.
I was just examining that. It's,
that's my cricket cage.
Oh, you like crickets?
I haven't found one yet, but I have the cage. Matter of fact, I've got two of them here. Would you like to have one?
Oh, no, thank you.
Right.
What happened to your uniform?
Oh, it's around. I find gaiters and a kimono much more comfortable in this climate.
But isn't that a bathrobe?
Well, it passes for a kimono. Did you take your shoes off, Captain?
No, thank you. Thank you, no. I'll just keep them on.
Right,
you
fine.
No objections.
No objection, of course. Sit down, Captain. My good chair.
Thank you.
Fisby offers McLean some tea. He declines. Settling back in his chair, Fisby fans himself and pops a snack into his mouth. McLean smiles uneasily. Still chewing his snack, Fisby passes his guest the fan.
May I ask, what's your building down the road?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my chaya. You know, that's going to be really something to write home about, Mac.
A chaya?
Mm-hmm. Gee, if you have a geisha, you got to have a chaya. You know.
How have you felt lately, Fisby?
Mac, I'm going to tell you something. I have never felt better. I feel reckless and happy and carefree and, well, and it all happened the moment I decided not to build that pentagon-shaped schoolhouse.
That what?
The good colonel, he ordered me to build a pentagon-shaped schoolhouse down here. Well, the natives, they wanted a tea house. And would you believe it? One of them gave me a geisha girl. So I decided that I was going to give them what they want. I guess it sounds kind of crazy to you, doesn't it, Mac?
Yes, and no.
You know, these are wonderful people with a strange sense of beauty. Hardworking when there's a purpose. You know what they're doing out there? They're making cricket cages and lacquerware and chopsticks and all things to sell as souvenirs to the people up north. Don't let anybody ever, ever tell you that these people are lazy.
Oh,
no.
I see.
No, you don't. You don't.
Oh, I see.
You don't? No. But you will when you get a chance to study them.
So you're building a tea house.
Yes. And you know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to go out there and test that soil and see if it won't grow something besides sweet potatoes. You see, I'm going to send for some nitrates and DDT and chemicals.
Chemicals?
Yes.
What? You want to poison these people?
What are you talking about? No.
Look, Captain.
What?
Sorry. You just touched on a subject that's very close to my heart here, gardening.
Yes?
Oh. You know, for years, I've been on the point of giving up my career just so that I could set up an experimental farm somewhere where I could raise vegetables organically. Nature's way. No poisons, no chemicals. Let me tell you something, Captain. Chemicals will kill all your earthworms.
Uh-huh.
And earthworms aerate your soil.
They do.
Do you know that the earthworm leaves castings 8 times its own weight every day?
That much?
Organic, it's the only thing. Compost, manure, but no chemicals.
You know a lot about this. I can tell.
Why?
You do?
I subscribed to all the farm journals for years.
You know, Mac, listen to me. I've got the greatest idea. While you're down here, you could really do us a big favor, a big service, mind you. You could sort of take over supervision, establish a kind of a, what do you call it, an experimental station? Huh?
Well.
McLean's excited grin sours.
Oh, I haven't got the time.
Take time, man. Now, this is a chance for you to put those theories of yours into
practice. These are not theories. These are proved facts.
Just tell us how to go about it. That's all, Mac.
Is your soil acid or alkaline?
Oh, golly, I don't know.
If that's the first thing we've got to
You're
find out.
You're just the man we need down here. You're a genius.
I'll want plenty of manure.
You'll get it.
And I want to set this program up scientifically.
Oh! What's the matter? What is it?
Well, I wish I had my books, my seed... I got a stack of seed catalogs that high.
6 feet.
Half? Oh, man.
Let's sit down here.
You know what you can do? You can write down a list of those seeds and those catalogs, rather, those books you got at home. We'll have the airstrip boys fly them in from the States.
Can you do that?
How can I do it? Sit down. What do you mean, can I do it? Of course I can do it. Make the list, we'll get started.
You know, every spring I've made lists of seeds. I never had any soil to put them. Now I can actually germinate.
Make the list right now and we'll get started right away.
Corn, golden bantam.
Yes.
And country gentleman.
Right.
Hybrid.
I got to check.
Hybrid?
Yes. I got to check with my Department of Agriculture now, but I'll be back this afternoon because you and I, we'll have tea in the Pine Grove, Mac. See, we have tea in the Pine Grove every afternoon when the sun goes down.
Cucumbers, early green, prolific. Oh, and radishes.
Fisby leaves.
Crimson giant.
McLean sits near the phone taking notes, now in Purdy's office.
There's no answer, sir.
What do you mean there's no answer? Well, keep trying. I'm not the kind of a man to take no answer for an answer.
McLean stares into space.
Tomatoes, Ponderosa, early in. Watermelon, All-American, gold medal.
He picks up the receiver.
Hello.
Who is this?
This is Captain McLean.
This is Colonel Purdy. Can you talk?
Why not?
I'm anxious to hear your report on you-know-who.
On who?
Captain Fisby, the man I sent you down to examine.
Well, Colonel, looks like I'll have to be down here several weeks.
Several weeks?
Well, Rome wasn't built in a day.
What?
I said Rome wasn't built in a day.
Well, you're the doctor.
Thank you, but I expect to work miracles.
Splendid. Is there anything I can send? Some old adventure magazines or anything?
Say, Colonel, there are a couple of books I'd like. I don't think you could get them.
You name them.
Well, one is The Principles of Pea Production.
And the other one, The Do's and Don'ts of Cabbage Culture. Oh, and Colonel,
do you think you'd lay your hands on a soil test kit?
A what?
A soil test kit.
I want to test the soil down here, see if it's sour.
Sour, did you say?
Well, yeah.
If your soil is sour, your seeds won't germinate.
Baffled, Purdy switches the receiver to his other ear.
And, oh, I'd love to lay my hands on some bees.
There is something wrong with this connection.
And, you know, I'm going to have to take some time out. I got to build up this soil, you know, with manure.
Did you say manure?
Yeah.
Nature's way. Oh, I've lost faith in chemicals. You kill all your worms. Oh, let me tell you, Colonel. When you kill a worm, you're killing a friend.
Purdy looks fretfully at the receiver, then softly hangs it up.
Hello?
Quinkovich.
Yes, sir?
Where's Plan B?
What did you want, sir?
I want to see who I send to analyze an analyst.
In the Pine Grove, Fisby and Lotus Blossom kneel by a table.
That's hot water.
Hot water.
Hot water. That's it.
Captain Fisby, sir.
Hey. Come on, over here.
I got a list of seeds here.
Listen, it's good. Put some more hot water in the pot, because we have a guest here. This is Lotus Blossom. You know?
How do you do? Yeah,
that's the geisha girl I told you about, you know?
I couldn't.
She can't speak English.
Well, she doesn't need to.
No?
Oh, hey, the seeds.
Yeah. Sit down here, will you, Mac? Come over here and sit down.
I'd like to.
Have some of this tea. You know something, Mac? You know that's real jasmine tea?
Really?
Here's a pill.
Thank you. Take off your shoes.
Now, about those seeds, if we can rush that right over... Now, we're going to sit here and we're going to watch the sun go down and we're going to contemplate the end of the day.
They gaze westward at the pink sky. Through the pine trees, they watch the golden sun dip below a ridge. Later in Fisby's quarters, Lotus Blossom kneels on the floor and plucks the strings of a koto, a Japanese harp. The wide sleeves of her pale blue kimono brush her knees as she plays the flat wooden koto with both hands. It has strings stretched like guitar strings down its narrow rectangular body.
Kasumi kagumo.
On his cot nearby, Fisbee lies on his back with his eyes closed, breathing deeply as he listens. McLean enters carrying a leafy branch. His straw hat hangs down his back from a string around his neck, and he wears a blue bathrobe.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
You
suppose you could let me have a couple of boys to help me in the fields?
Mac.
Darn Japanese beetles are eating up all my Chinese peas.
All right. I'll get Sakini to get a couple of boys to help you out, all right?
Oh, good. Thanks.
All righty. Now, Mac, sit down, Mac, and listen for a while. Lotus Blossom, will you sing it again for my friend Mac here?
Thank you.
Mac, but quiet, huh? All right. Here we go.
McLean kneels next to Lotus Blossom. Fisbee closes his eyes again. Sakini enters in his cutoffs and worn shirt.
Very sorry to interrupt the lovely song, boss, but emergency out here.
What's the matter?
Everyone come back, boss.
Oh, all right. Well, we better go see how they made out with the souvenirs.
Sakini and Lotus Blossom lift the delicate koto onto two sawhorses.
All right. Well, let's go.
Outside, Fisbee spots stacks of souvenirs.
What's this? Now, what's happened here?
All the souvenirs come back, boss.
What do you mean to come back? You mean to say they didn't sell anything?
No, the soldiers would look at the straw hats and say, what do you think we are, hayseed?
Mr. O'Shira, look, you were at Yatota. What happened there? The Navy always spends money.
Sarah said, how much you want? I said, 25 yen.
It's good.
They say, oh, too much. Can get better in 5 and 10 cent store. Give you one nickel.
Well, didn't you tell them, Mr. O'Shira, that every one of those cups is handmade?
They say, not care. They say, at home, have big machine, make 10 cups every minute.
The police chief.
They say, take nickel or jump in lake.
How do you like that?
Boss, you gonna stop and work on the tea house?
No, we're not going to stop work on. They're gonna get that tea house, Sakini, if they don't get anything else. By golly, you can tell them that I'm very proud of that work that they've done. I'm so proud. And you can tell them too, Sakini, that I'm very proud of them. No, I am. I really am. I don't understand it. No. I don't understand this. I don't understand.
Boss, they sure wish they could make some money to spend in the tea house, boss, yeah. Because they not like to go poor like beggar.
I know.
Gokuro, Gokuro-san.
Yeah, in there. America-san are in there.
America-san are in there.
He said, boss, not your fault that no one buy souvenirs. They're going home to get drunk now, boss.
You know, I don't blame them, Sakini. You know, if I could find something to drink, I'd do this. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, folks. What are they going to get drunk on?
Oh, they got nothing but brandy, boss.
Nothing but brandy?
Nothing but brandy.
How are you going to manage to get brandy?
Oh, we make a very fine brandy, boss, from sweet potatoes. Been making for generations.
You make brandy yourself?
Yeah, sure, boss. You want to taste some?
The brawny police chief passes Sakini a flask.
So, here you are, boss.
Mac, my dear friend Mac, if this stuff is only halfway good, we're really in business. You know, this is one thing that our men, I know they'll buy this.
Look, it may not be any good, no. You know, so there's some things even our troops won't drink.
Well,
take a sip, boss.
I want to smell it first.
Fisbee sniffs and winces.
Obviously, it has a kick.
Yeah. How old is this stuff, Sakini?
He's still on.
What? Nanka?
Oh, 7 years?
Well, no, it's 7 days, boy.
No. Couldn't say. I mean, it wouldn't smell like that in 7 days.
Well, he made it last week, boss.
Well, here, you try it, will you, Mac? You're a medical man. You give it a try.
McLean squints against the fumes.
First. No, I insist. You're my guest.
I waive the honor.
You know, anybody ever die or go blind from this stuff? Yeah?
Oh, we're not the dead, boss. We're not blind.
Of course not. You see? Come on, man.
They've worked up an immunity over the years.
See, I don't want to kill one of my own countrymen, you know. You know, there must be some way to test this, though, isn't there? Without me, there isn't, huh? Huh?
Fisbee hesitantly brings the flask to his lips.
Sakini, get me Elsa Maxwell.
One goat coming up, boss.
Elsa Maxwell, that's what we need. See, that's Higgajigga's goat. You know, we'll test it on her, you see.
Oh, well, I don't know what you're going to prove. Goats have hearty stomachs.
No, look, if this brandy, if this passes the goat test, oh, we're really in business, you know? You know why? Because no Marine will ever admit that his stomach is weaker than a goat's.
Hey, boss, you going to make a guinea pig off a goat?
Yeah, give me something to put it in, Mac. Anything at all.
Let me borrow your helmet. Helmet?
That's fine.
Frisbee pours the brandy into the helmet.
Oh, there's a Maxwell very lucky goat,
hey,
boy.
Easy.
You better hold her head, Zucchini. All right, doctor, proceed in the name of science.
McLean holds the helmet for the goat as she laps up the brandy.
We're either going to have an industry of goat meat for dinner.
She's doing pretty good, boy.
Not too much.
The goat licks her lips. McLean snaps his fingers near her eyes.
Hey. She all right?
All right? What do you think, Doc?
Doesn't seem to affect her. Reflex is okay. Well, here goes.
Frisbee presses his lips together in preparation, then tips his head back and takes a swig. Grimacing, he wipes his lips on his sleeve. McLean grips the bottle and takes a jolting sip. He wipes his brow.
Hey.
Frisbee turns to go.
Where you going, boy?
I'm about to form the Cooperative Brewing Company of Tobiki.
Frisbee hurries off, and the jubilant crowd follows. The elderly man with a flowing white beard picks up the goat's helmet and swigs the remaining whiskey. Inside Frisbee's quarters, the villagers gather around the desk while the captain cranks the phone.
Officers Club at Owasi, please.
We're going to make a brandy, boss.
I'll tell you in a minute. Officers Club at Owasi, this is Captain Frisbee speaking to Tobiki. Yeah, oh, Major, this is Frisbee. Yeah, well, you know, when I was with your unit, we had a hard time keeping a supply of liquor at the club. You remember? Yeah, well, Major, I think that I have stumbled onto something that might be of interest to you. as you know, Tobiki is the heart of the brandy industry.
Brandy? Did you say brandy?
Yes, brandy. Look up the word sweet potato in my dictionary over there, Mac. See if there's a fancier word for sweet potato. Oh, I'm here, Major. Yes, here I am. Uh-huh. Yeah, now look, Major, I think that I might be able to supply some of that brandy to you. That is, of course, if you're willing to pay the price. And you keep the source secret. Yes. Oh, they've been making it here for generations, sir. Oh, yes. Oh, matter of fact, I'm sure you've never tasted anything quite like it. Hold on a minute, Major. Huh?
The Haitian name for sweet potato is B-A-T-A-T-A, batata.
Major, you've heard of seven-star batata, haven't you? Oh? Oh, well, they make it here in Tobiki. Yes. Seven-star got in my head.
Brandy 8 or 10 day old better. 9 or 10 day old.
Major, we also have 8-star batata, and we have 10-star. Of course, the 10-star, now, mind you, that comes a little bit more expensive, yes? That will run you,
He looks to Zucchini.
100 occupation yen a gallon.
10 yen?
Delivered. Yes. What? How many? 5 gallons? Yes. 5 gallons will be delivered in 1 week. It'll be delivered by our Department of Agriculture. Yeah, right. You're welcome, sir. Right. Hello? The news kind of gets around fast, huh? Hello? Oh, GHQ, GHQ, PX? Yes, yes. Oh, 30 gallons?
No.
COD? Yes, right. It'll be there. Right. Thank you.
30 gallons!
Let's go to work, huh? I don't have to tell you. Let's go to... Wait! Wait!
The crowd watches intently as Frisbee tiptoes around the desk, then drops to his knees and cups his hands over the floor. With a proud grin, he holds up a black bug.
I've got my cricket!
Later, in the shade of a pitched roof, two women chop sweet potatoes near a blazing oven, while Miss Higgajigga samples the brandy from a huge vat. The brawny police chief carries a 50-gallon flagon over to a wagon. A sign on the still reads, Tobiki Cooperative Brewing Company. Standing below it, Captain Fisby checks outgoing shipments. Later, on a hillside, McLean and a dozen villagers stand in a water-filled trench setting up a V-shaped channel to run downhill. Fisby jogs over.
Hey, Shikini, what are they doing here?
Oh, we're diverting water for a lotus pond. You can't have a tea house without a lotus pond.
Yeah, where's your goldfish, Mac? If you have a lotus pond, you gotta have goldfish.
Water gushes down the channel, splashing them. Nighttime. Shikini carries a lantern.
Hey, boss! Everyone sent me to bring you to tea house opening, boss.
Shikini bows, wearing a clean white kimono.
Isn't that something?
This is the first class, boss.
They admire his outfit.
Well, that's really something, Shikini.
Well,
come on, let's go.
Well, lead on.
Okay.
Smiling with anticipation, they jog down a dirt path along a latticework fence. Two red hive-shaped paper lanterns hang on either side of the front gate, which is screened with a woven mesh. Shikini opens it for Fisby and McLean. The two officers gaze in astonishment. The completed teahouse glows with a warm orange light. Green shrubbery trims the hourglass-shaped lotus pond, and a wooded bridge crosses the center. The dark, glassy water reflects the elegantly dressed villagers. They all share a ceremonious bow. Wearing their bathrobe kimonos and wooden sandals, McLean and Fisby stride to the front stone steps. They kick off their sandals, then enter the tea house through a set of sliding paper screen doors and bow to a woman in an orange kimono. The kneeling villagers bow as their American friends pass. The audience sits around a 15 by 15 foot open space in the center of the room.
Well, you sit here. Lotus Blossom is going to dance in your honor.
Hey, Mac, you hear that? She's going to dance. Come on, sit down, Mac. Get Farmer, this is in my honor.
Marla, how can I stall pretty so I can stay down here?
I have a relapse for you.
Shikini claps his hands.
Hi!
Through a set of sliding doors, six dancers with flowing purple scarves and red mushroom-shaped hats file out with a soloist. Tilting their heads and aiming one palm at the floor, the dancers spin in place. With small steps, they hop forward, moving their arms as if pulling air in, then pushing it away. They retreat back toward the doors, and two pairs of young girls emerge. One pair kneels. They rock their heads from side to side. Between them, the smaller girls stand on one leg, twisting their wrists. Stepping lightly, all but one dancer and the soloist exit. The women arc back to the doors and slide them open. Lotus Blossom kneels, head bowed, with two kneeling women behind her. She slowly lifts her chin to face us. A yellow flower adorns her jet-black hair, which is pulled back in a neat roll and tied with a ribbon. Smiling daintily, she rises, steps quickly over to Captain Fisby, and bows. Shikini gives him a subtle thumbs up. Standing in the center of the room, with her knees slightly bent, she spins a closed fan end over end. She faces away from us, holding two closed fans, tips her head back, and traces two gentle arcs in the air. The two women rise and kneel at her feet. Lotus Blossom wears a purple ocean-patterned kimono with a yellow sash. Dark waves have lavender crests. Crouching, she snaps open her fans. As she rises, the two women slip off the purple layer of her kimono, revealing a pale pink gown underneath. Leaning back, she loosely traces the curving outline of her body with a fan. Her placid face emits elegance. She dips her knees and pauses with her body shaped like a crescent moon. Pivoting on her toe, she rapidly spins one fan. Her lips curve in a delighted smile. She flips the fans in the air one at a time and easily catches them both. Lowering them to the ground, she swirls them up and overhead. Now placing the semicircular fans one atop the other, she bends over, then leans back as though scooping the air. Dropping to her knees, she tosses one fan over her shoulder, then the other. Her attendant catches them both. Opening a new fan, Lotus Blossom inches up to a stand, tapping the air in time. The two attending women peel off the pink robe, unveiling a flowing sky blue kimono. Poised with one arm on her hip, she moves in a circle with quick, measured steps. An enraptured gaze lights up her face as her wide silk sleeves follow the wave-like motions of her arms. She advances toward the audience, delicately unfurls her arms, then retreats to the center of the room. On her toes, she twirls the fan, dips her knees, and comes to rest, pointing her fan in Fisbee's direction. Lotus Blossom curtsies and bows her head. Fisbee smiles with delight. She pulls the yellow chrysanthemum from her hair and offers it to him.
Chrysanthemum bud in full bloom now, boss.
Happy birthday.
Very good.
Well, I'll be.
How did you know?
I gave you away.
Boss, now everyone like to show appreciation, boss.
The villagers bow.
Happy birthday.
How very lovely you are.
Smiling fondly, Fisbee reaches for another yellow chrysanthemum and hands it to her.
Oh. And a happy, happy to you.
Beaming, she takes the flower and clutches it to her breast. Fisbee toasts her chrysanthemum with his. She scurries across the room and the women gather around her.
Boss, you know what you do?
I'd call for flowers, sort of, you know?
That mean you give your heart to her?
Well, I do. We all do, huh? Wasn't it beautiful, man?
Oh, she can dance in my cha-ya any day.
Outside, Colonel Purdy and Sergeant Gregovich pull into the deserted village.
Pardon me, sir.
Gregovich gets out and reads the map by headlight.
Are you sure this is Tabiki Village?
According to the map, sir.
The place seems to be deserted.
There was a light over there. Come on.
They hurry off. In the tea house, Lotus Blossom pulls Fisbee on stage.
What is it? Zucchini, what do they want?
They want you and a doctor to sing songs.
Sing? No. All right, come on. Come on, man. Come on, we're going to sing something.
How about Deep in the Heart of Texas, you know?
Oh, why not? There aren't any Texans here.
Right, now, listen, we're going to have some fun now. Mac, come here, Zucchini. I want to tell them that they're going to help us out. See, when we clap four times and sing Deep in the Heart of Texas, they're to join
us. That song, very nice, boss. We demonstrate.
What is it?
Stars at night
are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
They each coach a third of the room.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Hey, we're all ready. All right, you ready on the left? We're ready on the right. Here we go.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Prairie moon sky
is big and high. Deep in the heart.
Outside, Purdy and Gregovich stride briskly, and Purdy stumbles into the water.
The prairie sky is wide and high. Deep in the heart of Texas. The sage in bloom is like perfume. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Finally,
the one I love. Deep in the...
Jumping with excitement, Fisbee glimpses Colonel Purdy. A crane sneaks behind a folding screen, and Fisbee bolts after him. Miss Higajiga blocks the colonel's path as the rest of the crowd disperses. Purdy pushes her toward the screen, and Sakini wraps them both up while the two captains escape. Later, in an office, Colonel Purdy sits at a desk with Fisby standing timidly in his khaki uniform. McLean heads for the door.
Sit down! How many lectures have you delivered to the village children on democratic theory?
Well, now, let me see, sir.
Four?
No.
Five?
No, it wasn't that many, sir.
Three?
No.
Two?
No.
You've only delivered one lecture?
None, sir.
Don't tell me you haven't delivered a single lecture.
Yes, sir. I've not delivered no lecture. Any lecture.
Have you organized a Women's League for Democratic Action?
Oh, yes, sir, I did that. I sure did. Yes, I sure did that,
How
sir.
Many lectures on democratic theory did you give them?
None, sir.
You can't mean none. You must mean one or
none.
Two.
No, just none.
I refuse to believe it.
Oh, I'm very glad, sir.
Sir, I must go.
Where?
My seedlings are wilting. I have to transplant them.
Captain, you'll pack your gear and transplant yourself to your unit at once.
Yes, sir. They'll die. This is murder.
McLean hurries to the door, then looks back pleadingly.
Please, take care of my beans.
He leaves.
Now, is the schoolhouse finished?
No, sir.
Why isn't it finished?
Well, we haven't started.
What did you do with the lumber I sent?
We built a tea house.
I don't suppose you have any aspirin here.
Huh? I don't think so.
What in the name of occupation do you mean by saying you built a tea house instead of a schoolhouse?
Lotus Blossom, she had to have a place to teach the Ladies League geisha lessons, sir.
Please me!
Yes, sir.
Purdy warily slides the paper-screened windows closed.
How could you sink to such depths, man?
Well, I was only giving in to what the majority wanted, Colonel.
I don't doubt that statement, not at all. It's a sad thing it took a war to convince me that most of the human race is degenerate. I thank my stars I come from a country where the air is clean, where the wind is fresh.
Oh, for heaven's sake, sir, there's nothing that goes on in a tea house that your own mother couldn't watch.
You be careful how you use my mother's name, Fisby.
Well, my mother, then, sir. Sir, there's nothing immoral about our tea house.
Well, answer me this. What is bringing all that occupation money to this particular village?
It's
answer it.
No. Nothing.
It might be for me.
It's not.
Answer it.
No, you see this phone? It rings all day.
I'll answer it. Hello? What do you want? Who is this? Well, Commander Myers, you must have a wrong connection. This is not a brewery. Yes? Yes? Yes. Oh, I see.
Purdy hangs up, glaring at Fisby.
I see.
The captain cracks a sheepish grin and shrugs.
Well? There was nothing else that we could make, Colonel, that anybody would want to buy.
Brandy! This ends my army career. When I promised Mrs. Purdy I'd come out a general. You've broken a fine woman's heart, Fisby.
I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
You sullied the reputation of your nation. No, and all the tears...
All right. Shall I kill myself?
Oh, don't minimize this. You don't know the enemy's genius for propaganda. Well, what have you done with all the money you've made so dishonestly?
I banked it in Seattle.
Oh, that's despicable. Making a personal fortune off the labor of these ignorant people.
I haven't touched a cent of this money, Colonel. Now, it's all banked in the name of the Tobiki Cooperative Company. See, everybody in the village, they're all partners, don't you see? You know, share and share alike.
That's communism!
It is?
I'll be lucky to get out of this war private.
Purdy gathers himself into a tall stance.
Captain Fisby.
Yes, sir.
You will consider yourself under technical arrest. You'll proceed to HQ at once to await court-martial. I intend to wipe this stain from our country's honor. Gregovich!
Hey, you called, sir?
I did!
Gregovich hurries in and wipes his lips.
Yes, sir.
They exchange a salute.
We have some business to attend to here before going to Owasi.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to hear it. Captain, may I congratulate you on what you've done for this village? It's a dream.
Thank you very much, sir.
It's an alcoholic dream. It's one vast distillery. I want you to take a detail and some axes and smash every still in this village.
Destroy them?
Beyond repair. I want you to take another detail and rip down that tea house.
But, Colonel...
File the number beside the road. That's an order. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Gregovich salutes and heads out. Later, Fisby and the villagers dolefully watch Gregovich smash the still with a mallet. Mr. Seiko sits on the ground with a broken clay flagon at his feet. Miss Higajiga dabs the tears from her eyes, then hurries over to Fisby. Wearing her helmet, she scuttles over to the brawny police chief, and he puts a comforting arm around her shoulder. Nighttime. Fisby walks down a dirt path with slow, weighted steps. Lifting his bowed head, he glimpses Lotus Blossom, her yellow kimono the only spot of color in the shadowed greenery. On the other side of the lotus pond, she paces a raised wooden platform, all that's left of the tea house. Fisby moves toward her, his lips drawn tight in a solemn frown. Bathed in pale blue moonlight, she inches forward as he approaches, their eyes locked in a soulful stare. In nearby bushes, Sakini watches. Dipping her knees in a curtsy, Lotus Blossom graciously beckons Fisby onto the platform. He bows, then follows her to the center and kneels across from her. They sit gazing wistfully into each other's eyes. Lotus Blossom pretends to pick up two teacups and sets them down between them. Taking an imaginary teapot by the handle, she begins to pour.
Hot water.
Gazing fondly, Fisby watches her set the pot down, then cup her hands and carefully pick up the air. With a shy smile, she offers him a pretend cup. He curls his fingers in gentle reply, takes the cup from her, and watches her reach down for her own. Her dark eyes brim with tears as they raise their cupped hands in a toast. Nodding her head, she urges him to drink. Fisby brings his hands to his lips. With a helpless gaze, he watches her bury her face in her hands. Sakini steps out of the bushes.
Boss. Sorry, boss. Jeep all rolling now.
I'll be along in a minute, Sakini.
You gonna take Lotus Blossom with you, boss?
Sakini?
He waves Sakini over. The interpreter steps softly onto the platform and squats behind Lotus Blossom, who hides her face from Fisby.
Ask her for me if there's anything that I can do for her before I go. Ask her. What does she say, Sakini?
She says she wants to marry you, boss.
Now, why would she want to marry me?
Oh. She says you nicest man she ever see, boss.
Oh, no. You tell her for me that I'm clumsy. I got an... talent for destruction. I'd only disillusion her just the same way I disillusioned all her people.
She says she like to go to America, boss, where everyone happy, sit around and sip tea while machine do work.
But tell her I'll never forget her. I'll never forget this village. And on the other side of the world in the autumn of my life, when an August moon rises in the east, I'll remember what was beautiful and what I was wise enough to leave beautiful.
She fixes her teary gaze on the ground.
So, what's the night, Karani? Mangets no yore ni wa anata wo omoyashimasu.
Atashi mo Fee-san no koto issho wasurenai wa. Fee-san no koto uta ni shite Okinawa jou ni hiromemasu.
She said, boss, she never forget you. And she like you to know that she gonna make up a long song story about you to sing in the tea house. And she said, maybe in 100 years from now, you gonna be famous all over Okinawa.
I'd like that.
Cracking a brief smile, she lowers her tear-streaked face. Sakini waves to Mr. Seiko in the trees. Wearing a white kimono tied with a green sash, the chief of agriculture scurries over and hops onto the platform. He slips off his wooden sandals and crouches beside Lotus Blossom, holding a yellow chrysanthemum.
She said, okay, but not to think that she's his property.
With a soulful gaze fixed on Fisby, she takes the flower, not looking at Mr. Seiko.
He's a very happy fellow, boss.
Mr. Seiko hurriedly carries a red-haired doll to her supply-loaded wheelbarrow. Grinning with delight, he sets the doll carefully on top of her luggage and pulls the cart away. On the platform, Lotus Blossom slides a folded fan out of her sash, opens it, and offers it to Fisby.
She's going now, boss, but you still her boss. So she says she not go to you drop a fan from her face.
She wraps his fingers around the bottom of the fan, then positions it in front of his face. Closing his eyes, Fisby bows his head. With the yellow chrysanthemum hanging loosely from her fingers, she turns, folds her hands over her stomach, and inches away. Twisting the flower stem between her clenched fingers, she glances back one last time, then steps slowly into the night, her face filled with sorrow. Fisby raises his head, lowers the fan from his face, and stares forlornly after her. Now, in Colonel Purdy's office, McLean stands at stiff attention before his superior.
I've written a full report of this whole affair to your commanding officer. I'm only glad you don't belong to my outfit. I won't tolerate rotten apples in my barrel. Hello. Who? What? When? Oh.
Purdy hangs up with a distressed frown, then puts on his garrison cap and smiles at McLean.
Sit down, Captain. Sit down. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
McLean looks on in puzzlement.
Sir, give me your hat. Have some of these Sakendos.
Purdy offers him a snack, then hands him a fan.
Take your shoes off. I'll be right back.
Purdy dashes outside. Alone, McLean glances around the room in wonder. Now at the former tea house.
You going now, boss?
Yeah, I guess so, Sakini.
With a crestfallen gaze, Fisby turns the fan over in his fingers, then slips it into his pocket.
Hey, boss, since you not take Rotus Blossom with you, maybe you take me?
No, Sakini, no.
I work for you for half price, boss.
Major McAvoy's coming down here to take charge, and, well, he's gonna need your help, you know.
Oh, you very hard man to bargain with, boss. Okay, you want I work just for isolation?
No.
Well, you mean you're gonna make me work for nothing, boss?
I mean, yes, you're not going to work for me at all, Sakini. No, you belong here.
Okay, boss. Oh, boss. You know what I think gonna happen when American leave Okinawa?
What?
Oh, I think we're gonna have to use a Pentagon-shaped schoolhouse for tea house.
So long, Zucchini.
They shake hands.
You're a rare rascal.
So long, boss.
Say, you know I'm gonna miss you.
Fisby turns to go.
Hey, boss.
Yes?
You not a failure.
Zucchini presses his lips together, matter-of-factly.
I'll tell you something, Zucchini. You know, I used to worry a lot about not being a big success. I think I felt an awful lot like you people felt, always being conquered. Well, you know, now I'm not sure who's the conquered and who's the conqueror.
So,
I've learned in Tabiki the wisdom of gracious acceptance. See, I don't want to be a world leader. I've made peace with myself somewhere between my ambitions and my limitations.
That's good, boss.
Well, it's a step backward in the right direction.
Fisby dons his cap with a tight-lipped smile.
Take care.
Socks up, boss.
Zucchini gives him an encouraging thumbs up, and Fisby strides briskly down the path. Now Colonel Purdy runs toward the platform with a waddling gait.
Zucchini! 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 Where's Captain Fisby?
Oh, right over here, boss. This way.
Fisby! Fisby! Fisby, come back here at once! I'm not in shape. Too much paperwork.
You call, sir?
I've been looking all over for you, Fisby. You can't leave. You've got to stay here. You've got to help me, Fisby.
I don't understand, Colonel.
We've got to pull this village back together again. The lead is blown off of everything. Where's Gregovich?
Well, he's out there. They're breaking up the rest of the stills, Colonel.
Oh, no.
Why? What's the matter?
I radioed the report to Washington. Some fool senator misunderstood. He's using his village as an example of American get-up-and-go in the recovery program. We're all over the newspapers.
That's wonderful, Colonel.
It's not wonderful. A congressional committee is flying over here to study our methods. They're bringing photographers for a magazine spread. Tonight, Fisby, tonight.
Oh, that's bad, that's bad.
Gregovich!
Colonel, wait a minute. Maybe there's some way we could stall them. Maybe we could quarantine the place or something, huh?
You can't quarantine a congressman. They've got immunity or something. Oh. Fisby.
Yeah?
Help me.
Yes, sir.
I don't ask it for my sake. I ask it for Mrs. Purdy.
He doffs his cap.
I could be a brigadier yet. Gregovich?
Purdy spots the sergeant staggering into the lotus pond. Gregovich loosely swings his arms as he sloshes through the knee-deep water with tottering steps.
Gregovich!
Purdy rushes toward him.
Gregovich! Gregovich!
Did you call, sir?
Come here, Gregovich. Come here. You haven't destroyed all the stills, have you, Gregovich? No, of course you haven't.
Oh, yes, I have. I carried orders out to the letter.
Why can't somebody disobey orders once in a while? What's happened to the American spirit of rebellion?
Gregovich passes out and lies on his back in the sand. Fisby leans over him and winces.
Sunstroke?
Potato brandy, sir.
Zucchini laughs to himself.
Sergeant, wake up. Do you hear me? That's an order.
Colonel, I'm afraid he's passed out.
It's desertion. I need every man. Gregovich, get to your feet.
Come on, Sergeant.
Gregovich! I want to ask you some questions.
Sorry, sir.
Stop weaving.
You're weaving, sir. I'm standing perfectly still.
You smell like a brewery.
Oh, well, I fell in a vat.
You got drunk?
No, sir. I fell in a vat. Naturally, I had opened my mouth to yell for help.
Go to the office and sober up at once.
Yes, sir.
He salutes, then marches into the pond.
Oh, Sergeant. Sergeant.
Fisby.
Yes, sir.
I think I'm going to need you.
Yes.
Stand by.
Yes, sir.
They look into the sky.
Oh, no.
With a downcast gaze, he shuffles to the tea house platform, plops down on the step next to Zucchini, and pulls off his cap.
I'm a sinking ship. Scuttled by my own men.
Colonel Putty.
Don't bother me.
Still's not all destroyed.
I haven't got time. What did you say?
We not the born yesterday. We get the sergeant drunk, give him a water barrel to break.
Sikini! My friend, you're not saying this just to make me feel better.
No, still's as good as ever, boss. Production not cease yet.
Sikini, you really are a rascal.
No, he's really an American. He's got get up and go.
Sikini, listen. Look, if you could get the people in the village to work together, how long do you think it'd take them to rebuild the tea house?
Oh, we not destroy, boss. We just take away and hide. Come here.
He leads them over to a craggy boulder, and they stand facing the tea house platform.
Now we're gonna show you Okinawa get up and go.
Sikini rolls up his sleeves.
Oi! Hajime yo!
Villagers carry two wall panels onto the platform, while others bring sawhorses and ladders. One group builds the doorways with squared arches made of two poles and windowed crossbeams. Several villagers lay the archways on the ground, then walk them upright. A second team adorns the windows with carved wooden insets of spreading trees. The paper screen doors are brought in and put in place. At the lotus pond, a group of villagers rebuild the bridge. A train of women in brightly colored kimonos dance across it. One woman carries a bouquet of yellow chrysanthemums, while another beats a drum. Now Sikini waves his hand, and water starts to flow down the boulder's craggy surface.
Oi! Taki! Be right back!
Sikini dashes off, while the American officers stare in awe. The interpreter rushes out of the newly built front gate, then emerges in a crisp white kimono and cropped pants. He hustles back over to the Americans and points up to the sky. They gape at the tea house roof, suspended in the pine treetops. The police chief supervises the lowering of the roof. Two men crank a winch, and the roof begins to descend. Villagers positioned in the trees and on ladders guide it onto the standing walls. On the ground, Lotus Blossom hurries to stand in front of the completed tea house. With a gleeful smile, she gazes at the Americans. The elegantly dressed villagers gather nearby and exchange a bow with their friends. Colonel Purdy admires the tea house.
It's a land of mystery of the Orient.
It's beautiful. It's simply beautiful.
There's only one thing wrong. It needs a sign to tell people what it is. And we ought to put another sign up over there, naming this Grace Purdy Avenue. And another sign.
Sir, how about a nice cup of tea? All right.
They head inside.
Oh. 20 star for the Colonel, Sikini.
Okay, boy.
Sikini slips off his sandals, follows them onto the front porch, then stops between two paper screen doors. Standing alone, he turns and smiles at us.
Little story now concluded, but history of world unfinished. Lovely ladies, kind gentlemen, go home to ponder. What was true at beginning remains true. Pain make man think, thought make man wise, and wisdom make life endurable. So, may August moon bring gentle sleep. Sayonara.
With a smile, he bows and slides the doors closed. A title appears, The End, The Tea House of the August Moon, made in Japan and Hollywood, USA by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.